This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 418. I'm Adam, and there are only spiders. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I have seen the system files.
Debbie Melrose.
Towards the embarkation.
And Mary Lang.
Time Lords want me back.
Yes, we're back on the journey still. And
just the way she said it.
Very little of the Tom Baker era left.
Yeah.
Full circle is our subject for the day. But before we talk about full circle, have to talk about the passing of Terence Dix, who not only was what the most prolific and legendary novel writer in the history of Doctor Who, he was also a script editor for the show, a story editor for the show, a story writer for the show. He's based his imagination allowed a lot of people to get more Doctor Who than they would have done by just watching the TV show. I did allude to them myself. I only ever read one Doctor Who novel because I was absolutely desperate to absorb the story Planet of Spiders. There was no way the BBC were going to repeat it, and there was no videos available at the time. So I read the novel, and it was fantastic, and that was written by Terence Dix. Go on then, everyone. You can have your say. All right, that's fine.
He was a genius. Yeah.
He was Doctor Who.
Yes.
And I wish I'd been able to meet him. All three of you have met him, I'm sure.
No, I haven't. No, not me either.
Not either.
I wanted to, obviously, but it just so happened that he didn't go to any of the events or anything that I went to. I'm not sure, actually, whether he went to the Doctor Who celebration and the Doctor Who festival or not. He may well have done, but I didn't see him there.
He wasn't on the list.
No, he might have been there, but I didn't see him.
I think I was at a convention where he was the guest, but I wasn't officially at that convention. I kind of dropped by into the lobby.
So. Kirby, you crashed.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. That was during
LobbyCon.
Yeah.
LobbyCon.
That was during those 3 years where I was having to go to graduations all the time.
That happens in Chicago too. There's all kinds of people out in the lobby that are not in any of the panels. People just hang out.
I wonder who wrote the novelization of the story we're about to review today. Does anybody know?
Andrew Mabey.
Oh, no, I don't think Andrew Mabey wrote it. I don't know who this Andrew Mabey is.
Wiki it. Have a look.
I've got the book. I can go look.
Go on then, Mary.
Right.
Be curious.
Mary's on a quest. Mary's quest.
Wait till she gets back and we can do one of our traditional pranks, couldn't we, when she gets back?
He informed a lot of my young self with Doctor Who because it was always his name everywhere whenever I watched it or read it or listened to it on cassette. It was Terence Dix. So, yeah, he was a big part of my childhood and getting me properly into Doctor Who.
Doctor Who royalty.
Yeah,
he was.
I don't have all of the Target novels. I've got a goodly number, and yeah, if I could just go along here.
Sounds like he's talking from the other room, doesn't it?
Terence Dix. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With an occasional Ian Martyr.
Yeah, another prolific Doctor Who writer that's no longer with us.
And a great companion.
Indeed. So,
imbecile.
We can say, that, of course, that the story itself, full circle, what we're about to talk about, was written by friend of the show, Andrew Smith. So let's get on then and talk full circle.
Since Debbie has said that she doesn't necessarily like this story. Did you tell me this?
But that was off air, Kirby, so it's very naughty. Point deducted for Kirby for mentioning that on air.
I had the book.
Yes.
That's how I first knew about the story was I read the book.
Yes.
But I can't find it.
Oh. It's a big build up to that one. Never mind. A quick sip of tea.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know. Mary's quest has failed. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure one of our live viewers will find out for us. Anyway, right, so yes, Full Circle begins with the title sequence and another scene in the TARDIS, which is quite thematic, is that right, for this era of Doctor Who. I mean, the first series that John Nathan Turner was in charge of.
They do seem to spend a lot of time in the TARDIS.
Especially in the beginning of stories. Mm. So, yeah, they're sort of just sort of, they're trying to find their way back to Gallifrey, and... Okay. They leave K-9 in charge of piloting the TARDIS while Romana goes off to have a sulk.
What's she sulking about now?
She doesn't want to go back to Gallifrey. She's having fun.
Right, okay. And her... I missed episode one, listeners, so...
Okay.
I've got a bling coming from my watch. What's this say?
This is one of the first times in a long time we've seen a companion's room, isn't it?
Yeah, we get Romana's room in this story, don't we?
We do, of course. I think Romana's room is used again in the
like
next series, briefly, because it was given to one of the girls.
Room, I believe.
I think, as far as I can remember. Anyway, she's having a sulk. It's a very nice room. And during the sulk, something weird goes on with the cameras and stuff, and the TARDIS goes a bit funny. And they land, and they think they're on Gallifrey, because the monitor shows a... shot of a desert, which of course Gallifrey is a desert. It would be after the war, I would have thought, but they've decided to show Gallifrey as a desert. Although, if I seem to remember from that brilliant story with John Hurt in it, there's a scene of him walking across a desert but is that on Gallifrey? I can't remember.
To that.
Never mind. I drifted there. Anyway, so they step out of the TARDIS, and it's not a desert. In fact, it's almost like a bit like a forest with the upturned trees and pigeons released at just the right time and a homoerotic wrestle with a couple of men in the lake. And then we pan across to some sort of peasants wearing yellow, and it looks like they're farming floating melons, because on this planet the melons come
River
out of the
fruit.
Lake. It was all quite very nice and sunny at this point. And then we meet a few peripheral characters, including a girl who's obviously the token female that isn't Romana in this story. Because there's not a lot of female characters in this story, is there, Debbie?
No, I noticed that.
All right, I'll just carry on. You are still there, aren't you?
Yes, I'm right here listening.
You are. That means I'll better turn my volume back on, because for some reason you're not coming through. I'll just put a 2-hour limit on that one.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, well. Yes, now I can hear you now. The listeners...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, the listeners could have heard you. I didn't, because the speaker's got a timeout and it's timed out. So I've now put it on 2 hours. So I would hope the show would be done in 2 hours. So, yes... Where do we get up to? Yes, so Debbie, so I can hear you this time. Yes, a lack of female characters in this story.
And yes, my response was, yes, I noticed that. And obviously you just got Romana and
Logan's
daughter, Kira, is it? Yeah. And
Kira. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you don't know if any of the marsh monsters are actually female. So
no, because it's all covered up with this rubber stuff, isn't it? sort of wetsuits with dots and stuff on it.
Terrific wetsuits, they are.
Theoretically, the marsh child is a female.
Theoretically,
yeah, that works. Theoretically, yes.
In the info text.
Oh, cool. Ooh. Okay.
Then we meet Dexeter, one of the deciders, who weren't... It was ironic because they weren't particularly good at deciding.
Dexeter is not a decider.
Oh, he's one of the... Yeah, he's some scientist, isn't he? He's a scientist, yes.
Oh, you're right.
So, a point for Mary. That was a good test of that one, wasn't it? Good point for Mary. I now control my bell with my wand.
Mary, I'm doing the questions again. Don't worry.
That's what she said. Right, anyway, back to the show.
Really going to need it.
So don't forget, Debbie, Kirby's a point down because he was very naughty.
And Mary's a point up. So there you go.
Right, anyway, so within a cave, there's a couple of moody, I'd call them teenagers because they come across as teenagers in
they
the story.
They are teenagers.
Yeah, they look older, teenagers. Though. I know Matthew Waterhouse, a.k.a. Adric, really was a teenager, and he can see as a teenager. Right. Anyway, so, yeah, grumpy teenagers. Adric is one of them. And he's got a little badge to show that he's quite good at maths. notice Americans have said maths. Mathematics. Yeah. It's short for mathematics. Maths.
No, but we don't say maths.
Oh, be quiet.
You say math.
We just say math.
Mathematics, yeah.
Math.
Anyway, yeah, whatever.
Math.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Series. Cereal. Series season. Right then, anyway. So.
Chips, crisps. Yeah.
So we established that they're slightly rebellious, these teenagers, friends and family members of Adric. I think one of them his family member? I seem to remember
I
it.
I think he's a cousin or a brother or something.
No, it's a brother.
No. Which one's the brother? Is that the one that dies right at the end of the story?
Yeah.
The last character to die. A lot of people dying in this story, I have to say. And I was a bit confused. I will say this now because I don't want to forget to say it later. I was a bit confused that the Marsh Men, I established quite early on, were probably related to them. It reminded me a bit of the mutants with that sort of, they're all sort of related to each other. Yeah. And there was a point in which one of the Marsh Men came across as being scared and the doctor was really good. So, well, no, don't scare him sort of thing. And then they're sort of killing people. So it's a bit of a, you're trying to feel sympathetic towards them, and yet they're killing people, you know. So
this is how I felt about it. I felt
things up,
because especially because I missed episode one, but I did feel like I was sort of watching something, and I'm like, well, this is, you're contradicting everything you've just said, you know, a couple of times in it. And
Oh yes.
But anyway, it was sort of touching on things that were going to work very well in my head, and then just sport it a little bit. The killings. I love the when they look in the microscope, and it's the same sort of graphic every single time when they're looking at these cells.
That's the whole idea. Yeah. It's the same thing every time.
I know, but it's exactly the same thing every time. Anyway, one of the deciders, I don't know if anybody else, Kirby probably noticed it, was in the War Games. He I think he had a big pair of glasses. Yeah, he was one of the baddies in it. That, the big controlling baddies.
A lot of these deciders, they've all been in Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, I know that. The white haired bloke, he was only in it a couple of series ago, wasn't he? Wasn't he in the Jason and the Argonauts story? Or maybe he wasn't. Anyway, I know. Pardon?
The white haired one was Doctor Evans in the Moon Base.
Yeah,
he's Al Rowe. He was also Edward of Wessex in Time Warrior.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was Colonel Skinsale in Horror Fang Rock.
Yep.
Yes, that's it.
He's quite a recognisable face. And the other chap, like I said, he bore a funny voice in the War Game. He talked a bit like that.
Yeah, he was a security chief. James Bree.
Yes.
And Leonard McGuire was the older one who died in the swamp. What was he in?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yes, I think the others.
He was never in it.
It doesn't matter anyway. Moving on.
Master.
I'm going to scratch my back with my wand. Hang on. Carry on.
Master. One of the older, not non-teenage crew members.
Yes.
You had the two who were watching everyone steal a river fruit and commenting about things.
Yes.
Was Adrian Gibbs,
yes,
who we will see a few more stories from now, watching as the Watcher.
Ooh.
Ooh. Back to this one, then. Anyway, so... Yeah, hang on,
if I had had more time, I would have put together a little graphic showing all the characters that all these people have been. But
so
I didn't have.
Aren't we thankful you didn't have enough time? Moving on.
Which one? Logan was the second new number two.
And Inspector Wexford.
Okay, what I thought about, obviously, that was obviously George Baker, but what I liked about his name was Login, and you called Logan, but if you, it's written as Login, which I thought was quite interesting.
Oh, that's right, he was also Tiberius Caesar.
Yes, he was in I, Claudius. Be quiet, right then.
No, you said it wrong, it's I, Clavdibs.
Clavdibs. Yeah, I tell you what, I mean... I'll talk about what I think about this story later on, but there's some great direction in it and some great camera angles and stuff like that in it. Really, really good stuff. And I will say Matthew Waterhouse is really good in this story. I'm looking forward to watching his character development because I know he was hated and people found him irritating. I think younger people found him more irritating than probably older people.
I found him quite irritating.
No, during because we're near his age and probably jealous that he got a part in Doctor Who, to be fair. But I thought he's pretty good. I mean, I'm watching this. I'm thinking dramatically. And he's still quite a young chap, and he was emphasising his points really well. He walked around. He padded around a bit weirdly. I thought that was that's shot out. But his actual verbal acting, and his face acting and stuff like that was right on the button. And I have to put my hands up, Matthew Waterhouse. Very, very good. Very good,
well,
Matthew.
About Matthew Waterhouse, this was actually the second story that he filmed with them. He did State of Decay first.
All right, yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
And he was also co-filming he was in another film, and they had to come up, the reason he's got this mop of hair is because they had to come up with a wig big enough to cover the hairstyle that he had for this film that he was making.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Anyway. So we're seeing like a frumpy wig on him.
Yeah, yeah, a Beatles wig.
I did wonder. It did look like a helmet.
Adric does quite a lot of skulking around, creeping up. And then as he's doing this creep, these mists start appearing on the lake and there's a whole crowd of people watching him. And somebody's in the lake and they're struggling a little bit. They get dragged out and rescued and everybody's sent indoors, essentially. But the mists sort of one shot are there, the next shot aren't, which is a bit of a shame. And then I think somebody dies or gets absorbed into the lake or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, the guy who was the decider that Logan replaced.
Yes, and also George Baker's daughter, which she's fine, by the way, but he thinks that she's gone and the deciders say, no, you know, forget about her. What have we got to do here? We've got to shut the doors and, you know, keep out these poisonous mists. Otherwise they'll kill us sort of thing. So that's basically what happens. Adric tries to save someone, doesn't he? That's right. And we have that classic hand releasing shot of when he can't quite hang on sort of thing. And... Then that's right. Adric gets injured during this scuffle, staggers into the TARDIS, which just happens to be in the cave, and falls on the floor, bashes his knee,
Master.
Oh god, I just thought of something else. So you better not let me forget what I thought of. Go on.
No, the TARDIS is not in the cave yet.
All right, well, anyway, either way, he stumbles into it. He stumbles into it rather dazed, and he's hurt himself, and he's got a bit of a bloody knee. I forgot what I was going to say now. What was I going to say?
You should have said it before you let me interrupt.
I was hardly going to... That's not going to blimmin' well happen, is it? Oh, yes, I did remember now. I want to say it now, because I have to say these points as I remember them, otherwise I never get around to saying them. I have noticed within this story that the Doctor's name is very much sort of overemphasized. They go, the Doctor, all the way through it, the whole story. I find that a bit tedious, to be fair. And it's the name Doctor is over and over again mentioned. Mm. And... that stands out because you never really got it too much in Doctor Who before the JNT era.
I hadn't noticed that.
You hadn't noticed it. Oh, you have to watch it again. Just keep an ear out for it. There's lots of, especially in this one, especially Adric, because on and on about the Doctor. We must find the Doctor. We must go and see the Doctor, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of that going on. And that I think that continues all the way through these first few years or last few years of the classic era. Right, back to the story. I'm just waiting for my DVD player to kick back in. Anyway, so Adric's sort of lying down. He's now in the TARDIS under the care of Romana and the Doctor. And, so there's lots of old-style circuit boards being fiddled around with on the TARDIS console. Adric's trying to...
so primitive.
Yeah, Adric's trying to remember stuff. The doctor's got the visualizer out of the console because he thinks there's something wrong with the visualizer, because they're trying to work out why coordinately they're in Gallifrey and they're actually not in Gallifrey, obviously. They haven't quite worked it out at this point, what's going on. And then the doctor and K9 go down to the lake and watch some marshmen coming out of the lake. And the, Adric, which was going to be my quote, sorry, not Adric, sorry, K9, which was going to be my quote, was alert, master, alert, which I thought was a bit too boring a quote than the one I actually used.
Are any of them Stay Puft marshmen?
Point to Dr. Kirby for a poor attempt at humour. But reinstate a point, because I forgot to reinstate one earlier on, because he actually did make a very good point, but I forget what the point was. So,
right,
he's
so still on minus,
still on
one.
Minus one, yes. Anyway, Adric and Romana quickly make friends during the escapade while the Doctor and K9 watch the marshmen. So clearly, these mists don't have that much of an effect on people, because all these people are still alive, even grumpy brother of Adric. So these marshmen start sort of... They sound like pigs, don't they?
They sound like the cross between pigs and some other kind of, like, almost like a donkey.
Well, basically, they are just pigs. It's a recording, it's a standard recording of pigs.
Is that a point to me, then? Because I got that right.
Yes.
Hey! That was the first one I've ever got. Woo!
Yeah, they went to the BBC's records department and pulled out a sound effects of pigs.
Ah.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
I read that they actually went to a pig farm and recorded.
Ah. Anyway, the teenagers wander into the TARDIS. The security in the TARDIS on this story is particularly bad.
The
doors
open
all the time. And obviously this sort of, what's they call it when you're not allowed to use weapons within the TARDIS? Something of grace, isn't it? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't work with a knife because Adric's brother wanders in with a knife. And this day of guns and knives, it's horrible to see a knife being brandished against Romana at that point. Anyway, so the deciders try very hard to decide something, and then think they rope in George Baker as Logan, isn't it? As a decider, he gets a new job.
Let's just call him Login.
Login as a decider. Anyway, K9 goes on wander about. Poor K9 bouncing around in these very uneven forests and stuff. Yeah. I felt really sorry for
Tom
K9.
Tom Baker pushes him at one point. Yeah.
You go.
You can clearly see the line pulling him several times.
Yeah. Anyway, something happens to the TARDIS. Somebody hits something.
To the little brooklet, the brook that he can't cross.
The brooklet
and then
he can't.
Watch, you'll see the line pull him.
What's a brooklet?
Brooklet.
A small brook.
A small brook is called a brooklet. That's how you learn something new every day, don't you?
I was just going to say, wasn't it just like a rill rather than a brooklet?
We have some stuff that's come through on the feed that I didn't see because it's not showing up on my main one. Lillian Robin says, Doctor.
Hello.
These are in reverse order. I'll go the other way around. Right. Laurie Nick says, saying something so Adam knows I'm here as the Facebook overlord's command. Lillian Robin, I'm also saying something... So Adam knows I'm here. Alan T. Butcher said, something. Lillian Robin said, doctor. So just so I know that you know that I know that you all know that you're there. So I thought I'd just mention that. Right. So somebody touches something on the console and the TARDIS sort of goes wibbly wobbly all over the place and everybody starts rolling around on the floor. While the doctor is still poking around the forest. And another thing that annoyed me a little bit is that Adric was just able to touch a few buttons on the console and dematerialize the TARDIS. Yet it didn't go off in time and space. It just happened to just shift somewhere. Yep. Pardon?
Debbie?
Uh-oh.
Yes?
Dictionary.com. Brooklet. Noun. One. A small brook.
Okay.
Point to Dr. Kirby for ridiculous pedantry, please. Thank you very much.
That's my job.
No, it's not. It's a pedantry to the extent of time
now.
Wasting. like Isabella, she has to be right as well. And Deb, for that matter.
And Isla.
Oh, good, yeah. Everybody knows I'm right. I don't know why people bother. Anyway, the Doctor turns up at the door to the Starliner. We forgot to mention the Starliner. And he's trying to get in. So he used a very rare use of the sonic screwdriver in this era of Doctor Who. To get in. He thinks he's failed because he uses the sonic screwdriver, walks away, and then the door opens. And he gets in. And so does a Marshman.
Marsh Child.
How do you know the difference? Is this one shorter?
No, they call it Child all the
way
through.
They call it Child.
It's captured, yeah. It's only a child. Leave it alone is the Doctor's line.
Oh, because it was scared.
Yeah, I mean, it looked full size to me.
Yeah, and then it turns out it's just a kid.
Yeah.
Is it because it had a bit of attitude? That's how they knew it. What?
In the info text and also in the making of, they mentioned that it was supposed to be a child.
Yeah, well, we guessed that because it was called the Marsh Child, Kirby. We worked that one out.
Yes.
Anyway, so eventually the TARDIS settles down and they can stop rolling around the ground. The Doctor is still sort of mooching around the Starliner, being followed by the Marsh Child, who gets attacked viciously by a horrible man with a sort of triangular-shaped hammer. But he uses the hammer thing to bash the Doctor over, basically brain the Doctor. But he's all right. It's only a little.
The hammers really are quite obscure in this one. Yeah.
So they net up the Marsh Child, so as Lexeter can do some experimentation. And then, that's right. When the TARDIS materialises in this cave, Romana pokes her head out the door just as one of the Archmen knocks poor old K9's head off. Nice little lie down for friend of the convention, John Leeson, not obviously friend of the show because somebody forgot to get a thing out of him. A bumper. Oh, he is on the show. We'll call him a friend of the show because he is actually on the show. If you actually bothered listening to my superb Fantasy Con audio.
Yes.
Oh, you did listen, did you?
Of course.
Point for Kirby.
Thank you.
Will you stop this? I have no room next to his name to put him in.
I'll keep track. I'm able to do it, and I'm able to present the show and do stuff like this. I'm very good at this sort of stuff, you know. Anyway, so poor old K9's now out of action. Much to the delight of John Nathan Turner, who I met at Freshwater many years ago, wearing a very loud shirt. Very briefly as well. He wasn't really interested in me. He was just flirting with Ali. The Doctor then finds his way into the inner sanctum of the Deciders, followed by Lexeter. And he initially befriends Lexeter because he's a scientist and he likes scientists. And Romana sort of comes out of the TARDIS and there's these little eggs with these really funny little spiders. And there's a really funny scene. They're only spiders. I love their little shiny eyes.
Like that.
Pardon?
They make you say it, well, they play the audio of her saying it twice.
Yes, they did, yes. Just to emphasise it, yes. But I love the, obviously, these sort of bright eyes these spiders have got, obviously, with somebody with that special effect where they shine a light on it to make it sort of, they use that for the Green Death, didn't they, and stuff like that. They just sort of shine a light on it to make it glow. And when it's the scene where the spider actually bites Romana, it's like three frames of action because it was so badly done.
They had problems there. They were trying to do it, film it backwards by pulling it off of her her face.
Yeah.
But the disc machine that it was designed for doing sports replays was malfunctioning.
Oh.
It malfunctioned so bad that they went overtime that day with their filming. And, you know, back in those days, that was a no-no.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah. Anyway, so all the teenagers rush into the TARDIS, leaving poor old Romana to fend for herself. And she collapses quite quickly after being bitten by the spider. They press buttons and the TARDIS dematerialises. Beg your pardon?
Adam, they work out how to close the door. Well, they're trying to work out how to close the door.
Eventually.
Closes it.
After dematerialising the TARDIS. Anyway, it went a bit wrong. Romana ends up going, and fainting and being turned into some sort of almost like a
psychic
link, isn't it, between the Marsh people, the spiders. Certainly a link between her and the Marsh Child, because obviously when in the next story, when Lexeter starts sort of getting samples and stuff like that. Yeah, she goes, ah!
Well, he's cutting into her head, isn't he? Yeah. There you go, Marsh Child. I'm going to check the brain.
Can't have been that difficult through with that rubber. The doctor is appalled when he finds out that there's missing tissue samples. And
Master?
Yes?
You know those spiders?
Well, not personally, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
They were so expensive to make.
What?
That, yes, they were expensive. They were little toys that were modified. That, they brought them back a year later. They were used in a Blake 7 story called Assassin.
Oh, yes. Oh, is that it? Good. Right. Yes. Where do you go? This is episode 3, aren't we? Right then. Right. And so, yeah, the doctor is really quite appalled by Lecter's ethics.
Yes, he's quite angry in the last couple of episodes.
There's lots of shouty, angry doctor in this story, which I like.
I liked it. It really lifted the story.
It
just to
gives
have him
things
absolutely indignant about how stupid everybody is.
Yeah, it gives it more gravitas and more. You feel the more sort of danger when Tom's doctor gets annoyed because he's always larking around and being a bit sort of funny, isn't he? But when he starts getting serious feel that there is a level of seriousness about what's going on. Like I said, I've always said that's a similar sort of thing in The Pirate Planet, where it's all played for laughs all the way through until he realizes that all these planets have been killed and they're all held in these little suspension things, and his reaction is perfect.
What's it for?
Yeah, it's just one of my favorite scenes ever. And he's like this a lot in some of this, when he's trying to sort of, but like I said earlier on, it's sort of undone a little bit by the Marshman himself, just sort of murdering people. Because I had a feeling, you feel all the way through this story, that the Marshmen know that these people are them. They're the offspring, sort of. No, what's the opposite to ants? Ascendants, that's the word I was looking for. Because they're supposed to be quite intelligent creatures. Anyway.
What did they do to clue you into that?
At the end, when the doctor says to them that these are your ancestors, so
but you said you had a feeling all the way through. So I'm saying, so what did they do that clued you in so early?
I wasn't actually entirely sure right up until the end what the actual
point. It rang a little bit like all the way through, like Mutants for me, in the way that they were reacting to the Marshmen made me feel that they've got to have a big connection there somewhere along the line, and that's why I thought that might be the case.
But if you think that they were related, why would you think they'd be so violent towards the humans?
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I didn't understand it. I felt that that the Marshmen obviously were trying to get into the Starliner because it was essentially their ship. What do you mean?
Well, the atmosphere outside the Starliner was more conducive for them, so why would they try to get in?
Yeah, but they're obviously trying to get in because it's their ship. That's what I had in mind. Why would they want to get in? They want to get in either because there's food there or it's because it's their ship, and that obviously these people in the Starliner are the descendants of the Marshmen, who I presume didn't look like Marshmen in the beginning. I don't know. We never got that explained, did we? All we know is that
none of that leads me to A, know why they wanted to get into the Starliner, or B, why they would be so violent towards the humans.
That's the thing. I don't mind them wanting to get in the Starliner because the Starliner essentially was where they originally came from, sort of. But the violence towards humans, the only thing I can think of that might work there is because the humans are violent towards them. And
humans, what the doctor does suggest at the end. Yeah.
Humans on our planet are violent towards humans, aren't they? Actually, humans are violent towards everybody, on any living thing on the planet. They're just violent towards, it's just a trait of the human race and not a very nice one. But maybe that's the way you can answer that thing. I don't know. Some of it didn't make any sense to me because I liked the fact that the Marsh Child was sort of vulnerable, and I felt sympathetic towards the Marsh Child. And then Adric's brother gets, and a few other characters just get, brutally murdered for no particular reason. They were quite defenceless when they were getting killed. But on the flip side, there were some Marsh men that were defenceless and got killed as well. So.
And I don't understand why they had to wait for the anesthetic to wear off before they would decide to cut into the Marsh
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that at all. No. It's like, why are you doing this while he's still awake? What are you doing?
Yeah. What's the point of doing it while he's awake?
Experiment.
It sort of reminds me a little bit maybe what the Germans did to the Jews in the war. I know that's a bit of a harsh thing to say, but they did do some horrible things, didn't they? And maybe that's trying to sort of show that when a certain race doesn't have any thoughts for another race, that they'll do what they like if they're radicalized that much, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's trying to get at. But anyway, so finally the teenagers get into the Starliner, and of course Loggin is quite pleased that his daughter's okay.
They come in literally where the doctor is. The TARDIS materialises.
Yeah. But they keep on saying, let's find the doctor. Must go to the doctor. Let's see what the doctor says and all this stuff. It's all the way through the story. Anyway, Lexeter starts his, on the telly, because it's been broadcast, starts his little sort of experiment. And the doctor's watching on the view screen, and Lexeter can see the doctor on the view screen. Anyway, Lexeter,
Dexeter.
Shut up. I'm trying to get a sentence in.
It is Dexeter.
I meant Dexeter. I didn't mean Lexeter. You've been horrible. But they've got them all points. They've been horrible. Anyway, right.
Not because I agree.
Shut up. Anyway, move on. God, bloody hell. What are you lot like? The operation is being broadcast live. And, of course, the Master Child wakes up and attacks everybody and goes in a bit of a tantrum and destroys the lab. The doctor, this is another scene that annoyed me a little bit.
I've got to go upstairs real fast.
I can get some words in. Excellent. The doctor is watching this on his viewfinder, but he's sort of, as the March Child approaches the screen, he's got his head turned as if it's a three-dimensional thing and he can look at them three-dimensionally. You know what I mean? And I've seen this in other things where they have the sort of view screen. Of course, the view screen is two-dimensional. You don't have to look sideways on because it looks like that on the screen. That was sort of not. Anyway, so he's at least like he's turning his head. Yeah, of course, he's not turning his head when he's in. They show the scene of him actually inside what looked like a courtroom, the inner sanctum. Anyway, the Marsh Child destroys the video link, and the doctor tells off the deciders again. And
kills himself in the process,
yeah. And then they all go wandering around corridors, disabled. I think going into these little like triangly sort of shaped things and disabling. I do like those little triangular shaped things. I think they're really cool, actually. They remind me of air conditioning control units. so they basically go into those things. They take something out. I don't know what they're doing. Actually, what are they doing with these little?
They're replacing components just forever. Just replacing.
Yeah.
Same components over and over.
They didn't have to sort of show the same scene. But I did like the design of this thing. And also like the fact that one didn't quite open or close properly, and they replayed the little sound effect for it closing twice just to cover up the cock up. I thought that was quite funny.
I also like the fact that the doctor points out while they're still in the book room that they're ready to launch within half an hour.
He
points that out when he's dropping about the operation.
Yes. No more comments coming through on the thread, as far as I can make out. So they're around doing this, and as I said, I'm trying to get this DVD to catch back up with itself again. And yeah, so I think Dexeter is dead at this point. I can't remember. They go and see, because Romana's been having a nap during the latter part of this story. So Adric and the doctor go back to her room and find it's been wrecked, and she's just wandering around as well, and she starts opening up all the doors of the Starliner to let all the Marsh men.
She's possessed. What an original idea.
I presume Marsh men and women, but we'll also call
them.
She got
her lessons from Sarah Jane for this bit.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just a companion thing, isn't it? Anyway, so all these, there's lots of battles going on between the Marsh men and the crew during this is episode 4, by the way. Who was the bloke who was in charge? I can't remember his name. The one that was in the war games.
Very dramatically.
No, the bloke who's in charge. He was starting to get a bit...
The deciders you're talking about?
Yeah, the chief decider. I can't remember his name.
Gareth.
What?
Gareth?
Was it? I don't know. Anyway, he started getting visibly despondent during episode 4. And there's a scene in which the Marshmen sort of home in on the TARDIS and the Doctor, and the Doctor uses Canine's severed head as a,
he takes it off the club of one of the Marshmen.
And he thinks he's got away with it. Then Romana turns up with a beautiful face paint and hand paint, which I thought was really cute.
Master?
Oh, no. Yes?
During rehearsals, while the Doctor was holding Canine's head like that,
yes,
he was actually barking.
Was he?
I'm not surprised, actually, instead of making the pig noise.
Yeah. Anyway, right, Adric at this point is starting to, you can tell it's just by his acting that he's got a plan afoot. Anyway, the brother's not dead yet, though. He's not dead yet. All panic is coming into play with all these club-bound marshmen start attacking everybody in sight. The Doctor is in the sort of lab trying to find a sort of a cure to Romana's
Now,
condition.
Would this be the same lab that the Marsh Child had just completely destroyed? Someone must have scurried in there at some point and cleaned everything
up. He didn't actually destroy the microscope or anything like that. So he did sort of wipe a few things off some tables. Pardon?
Yeah.
We can surmise that you can tidy up a lab, and that he can't have destroyed every single thing, and they may well have been backup pieces of equipment. I've been to schools actually and laboratories and stuff like that, and they've had more than one piece of equipment for a particular task. Just saying.
It could be more than one lab.
There's that too, Kirby. I doubt it though. Anyway, so yeah, so he's trying to make a little serum. That was a word they used. And just before the bloke from War Games dies, he looks a bit like Peter Davison when he's lying on the ground with his bruised head. That's the old Peter Davison, not the young one.
And isn't it about now that they've worked out that the oxygen...
Yeah, Marshmen don't like the oxygen.
They can't adapt that quick to the oxygen change, yeah.
So in classic Doctor Who style, they use some fire extinguishers, painted white in this instance, to fend off the Marshmen. But of course the fire extinguishers only have a certain amount of gas in them, and of course that's one of the things that leads to the very brave Adric's brother sacrificing himself to save Adric and everybody else for that matter. And the Doctor's quite flippant actually when he finds the dead body outside the toilet. Oh, it's a shame. It wasn't sort of it. Adric sort of a little bit stunned. He's not, I would have thought he'd probably grizzle a little bit, but maybe Matthew hadn't actually quite learned how to cry at this. But he's quite good at acting in the story. But his reaction to his brother's death was a bit sort of, unless he's just completely shocked, shocked into silence. Yeah, but he wasn't distraught, was he? Like I think most people would be if they lost a sibling.
Yes.
But,
I'm sorry, I don't rave about his acting as much.
Up to this point, I think it was fine up to this point. But when it comes to something that required a great deal of dramatics, I forgive him because it was straight into probably out of a drama school or whatever. And he was directed by the director to do the scene like that, but maybe because he didn't have the capability of doing the big dramatic stuff. In regards to being distraught. But, I mean, I didn't think he was... all I'm saying, he's not anywhere near as bad an actor as people make him out to be. That's
right,
what I'm saying.
I completely agree with you.
Anyway, so... moving forward. Oh, yeah, the Doctor... that's right, because the Doctor's getting this serum together and they've got Romana laid on a bed in the lab and she recovers, simple as that, and helps the Doctor... with some sort of word that helps him suss stuff out. While the Doctor's fiddling around putting everything back together, Adric goes into the TARDIS console room and delivers the new or repaired or whatever it is visualizer thingy.
The one he half hinged, yeah.
Yeah, and he sort of sort of just hesitates in his departure.
Yeah, we know what that means.
Yeah. And K-9 is very quickly repaired, which is unlike K-9 when he's got a real bad sort of injury, shall we say. It takes a few stories to get him repaired, but unfortunately they just put his head back on. He's back to as good as new, and off they go. They now know, they've mentioned that they're in E-Space now, so we now know we're in the E-Space trilogy. Woohoo!
Hooray!
Right, okay. this story is pretty good, to be fair. I don't care what you lot say. It's there are holes in it, like you say, not so much plot holes. I've outlined all the slightly irritating things I found about it, but as a story, I found this a bit more of a paced better than Megalos. I think it was more interesting. Obviously, the acting was better anyway, including Matthew Waterhouse. And also, Tom Baker was, again, absolutely superb in it. I do like it when there's lots of TARDIS stuff going on. The canine could have been a bit more prevalent, or whatever you call it. The Marshmen, it's not their fault that they looked crap. To be fair, they did. They did put some effort into designing a new creature. It didn't quite work. Now,
face mask.
If anybody did listen to episode 417, when Andrew Smith actually talks about the fact that this is not how he envisaged what the Marshmen looked like when he wrote the story, might give you an idea that it was a bit of a fail, the way they actually looked. But on the whole, apart from, you know, the inconsistencies and the way that I couldn't feel sympathetic too much towards them because of their violence, the story itself is actually really, really good. I actually really enjoyed it. I know you lot I don't really know what you're talking about, so I won't be deducting any points for incorrect opinions about the story on this. And so let's move on to Kirby. What did you think of Full Circle?
Oh, this is the second time I've seen it. The first time was about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this story. Okay. Even with the weird logic with the Marshmen being also spiders and humans, mm-hmm. I put that to one side. Okay, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I like the story. It's well put together. It's well directed. I like Adric. I like it.
Point for Kirby. Well done.
Are you sure? You said you weren't doing this.
No, I just said I wasn't going to deduct points for
right.
Incorrect.
So he gets a point for agreeing with you, and the fact that I probably don't mean.
No, I'm not. I said, I'm going to deduct a point for being pedantic there, Debbie. I'm not. I pressed the wrong button.
You can't deduct a point.
No, I pressed the wrong button then. No, hang on. Right. Let me explain. I'll calm down. Let me explain. Right. I said I wasn't going to deduct any points for incorrect opinions on the show. So, but Kirby was right, so I'm going to give him a point. Right. Debbie, what did you think?
Kirby, you're now back on zero.
What did you think then, Debbie?
Yes. Well, I found it, obviously, because I didn't see episode one.
Well, that might have an impact on it, though. Do you think?
Well, it might have done, but I don't think it has, judging by what you guys have been talking about.
Mm.
I totally agree with Mary about the fact that I don't understand where you got the whole idea that the Marshmen know what they're doing. I don't understand why they assaulted the ship in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why they then just gave up whatever they were trying to do with it. And that it was sort of left a bit too high and dry for me, a lot of the things that happened. They made out that it was so important that there was this cycle of life with the spiders and the Marshmen, and you know, completely different biological makeup between the spiders and the Marshmen. Apparently, they're all exactly the same. I wanted to know more about that. Why were they exactly the same? Why instead of just flying away, why don't you try and work out what your ancestors want and help them? You know, because they're part of your past. No, they're just going to fly away at the end. And I found it was just, and then we had the usual rushed, right, goodbye, you know, here, this is how you fly it, bye-bye, you know, it was that. And I don't mind that at all, but I just felt this time I could have done with a bit more, well, this is why this happened, this is why that happened, because I felt it would have been a brilliant story if we'd had a little bit more of the, this is why this happened. So I felt a little bit hard done by this one, knowing what's coming next, which is one of my all-time favorite stories. I was just like, so hopefully I'll watch it again and see if I see anything different after talking with you guys about it today. But no, I just felt a little bit hard done by on the science in this respect. Just the background just didn't feel right for me.
Yeah, there was a bit of I did feel it's only because there was a I felt in my mind while watching it that there was a link between the Marshmen and the Starliner people.
It's like why didn't I feel anything like that? You know,
because you didn't see episode one.
When it comes to that sort
I have
of thing.
A I have a theory why he feels this way, but I don't really think I should say it until after points have been
completed. Okay.
For God's sake.
Also, my other problem was that the deciders were just procrastinators with a different name.
Yeah, that's really the point.
Was, shall we just not bother? Yeah, let's not bother. Okay, are we going to do this? Oh, I don't know. It needs thinking about, you know. And then they all turn.
However, the scenes of them deliberating like they do, I found highly funny.
Yes. It's like, what do you think?
Well, yeah, that was the ultimate irony, wasn't it? They were deciders that couldn't decide. A bit like the British government and Britain on the whole.
And then when they get Logan involved, it's like, at last, someone who can make decisions for us.
Yeah. And he gets pulled right into the same thinking process, yes.
Exactly. It's like, no, but this isn't how I work. But obviously I do now. I'm a decider.
Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, Matthew Waterhouse's acting is no worse than the expensive spider's acting. That the best I can do for him. And then Terry Marr says, "Hi, Adam, sorry I have to agree completely with you. Very good story idea. Canine would have had problems with the marshy ground."
Indeed. But
a lot of it was shot in corridors, which was perfect for him, to be fair.
Yeah, but it did feel like that Adric has turned up and now we're getting the tin dog replaced.
Yes.
Okay. I'm the tin dog.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Strap yourselves in, everybody. Here we go. It's Mary.
Well, actually, I did enjoy this. I agree with Adam that it is
point for Mary.
Well directed and all that. I can't say that the acting is all that great, but the story, I think, carries what I think is kind of below par acting. I really enjoyed the fact that Tom Baker was not the star of the show as he's been in past seasons. And some of that is due to John Nathan Turner, who wanted the show to take a different direction let him be so lackadaisical in what he's doing. And also because of JNT, we have less of K-9, which I was happy to see.
Because
he didn't like K-9. And actually, Tom Baker had also expressed, that he was really sick of playing off this mechanical dog. Hmm. So they found ways to kind of disable it or get him out of the picture.
Oh, and it's so sad.
Tears.
Yeah, well. what was I going to say? Yeah, and as I said earlier, which didn't come to anything, is that I'd read the book first.
Yeah.
And I found the book very confusing.
Oh.
So I was eager to see, the actual filming of it. But we were doing the journey, so I thought, okay, I'm going to wait and see it, when we get to it.
Good girl.
But one thing that the book does do is it does say that what actually happened to the people on the Starliner is that shortly after they landed, they were invaded by these marshmen who completely destroyed everybody on the ship. So everyone who is on the ship now and has been for many generations is how the marshmen have evolved to be what they are.
Right.
But something I didn't understand, and I didn't understand it in the book either, is how scared of the spiders the marshmen were. Because as you saw, I mean, getting bit by a spider just turns you into a marshman.
To a degree.
If you're already a marshman, what threat could those spiders possibly be to you? And I found it amusing that, the science lab that got completely destroyed somehow got all cleaned up and reset up again.
They can tidy, Mary.
Little experiment. But I know. This is what science fiction is, this leap of faith.
And it's also what science labs are. They can be tidied.
Yeah. Everybody's so busy. Although, hang on a minute, there are about a million maintenance crews. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Must be, yeah, because they probably took a pause in replacing all the parts in the ship to cleaning up the lab. But yeah, but overall, yeah, I found it a very interesting story. And like I said, it was well written and well directed. So
it was well
written. All that, I liked it.
We were supposed to have Andrew Smith on the show today, but I think he forgot.
Oh, bless him.
We arranged everything, the Skype IDs and everything, but I think he may have forgotten because he didn't show up. Or he just got scared of the possibility of having to speak to Kirby again. Anyway.
I feel terrible now.
Why?
Because I didn't like it very much. And I think
Well, that would have made it a bit more interesting. the fact that if he anyway he didn't make it, he may, you know, there's still time before the end of the show. You never know, he might show up. What else we got here on the feed?
Didn't like it very much again.
Alan T. Butcher says, "I'd like to see Adric shoot from his nose."
Oh my god! Oh bless.
So I suppose we're talking of Alan T. Butcher. We better move on to feedback. Hey, Debbie.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Hang on. My phone's been charging. Let's have a go.
Let's hope it's got enough charge in it. Otherwise, this next link, it'll be a little bit difficult
to
manage.
Well, I've got 24%, and let's just hope that he doesn't make me say the S-I-R-I word this time. Planet of the Mars Spider-Man with large melons or no vocabulary is available. Dear 20 megabyters, Full Circle is of course a closely studied parable illuminating how a process of leaving the European Union would be likely work out through the description of scenario involving a type D oligarchy using willful procrastination as a cover for the fact that they have no idea how to accomplish the embarkation that their ancestors decided they should work towards some generations before. Unwilling to tell the truth at any point to the general population, they have no idea how to fly the Starliner. The Decisors instead choose to pretend to work towards the embarkation. Although the Starliner crew are in fact closely related to and derived from indigenous fauna such as spiders and the marshmen, they treat these inhabitants of the planet which they share but wish to leave as if they are alien to them and inimical to their own future well-being. It's been a long day. The Outlaws, who vehemently wish to remain on Alzarius, are treated with suspicion and as a disruptive element by the Deciders. In the end, the Doctor provides the knowledge required to accomplish a no-deal embarkation. And the story ends enigmatically before it is clear what will happen to the Starliner inhabitants as they set off with no idea where they will end up. Yeah, if they can't take off, how can they land?
Ah.
Is there a big red button? Stop.
Yeah, possibly.
It should be noted that while some would suggest that taking up a random submission from a teenager was madness and could never possibly be worked into a viable script, in fact, this turned out to be an excellent story, well told, incredibly paced. We also learn that the Emperor Tiberius, in fact, survived the War Doctor, and Gimli the Dwarf's attempts to smother him and decided to run, assume the name Luggin, and pretend to be a hyper-evolved marsh spider alongside the security chief who had escaped the Time Lords after all that business with the Warlord. All in all, Full Circle has that great trait of many good stories that it is founded on a very interesting idea. It is a great and very traditional Doctor Who story in that the unfolding of the narrative relies not only on the action and establishment of strong, well-defined characters with clear roles, but also on the agency of the Doctor in slowly working out the truth in a situation. K-9 is exposed here as a lexical ignoramus, as his vocabulary fails him, and he therefore understandably and perhaps out of shame loses his head. Adric's debut may not be the best start for any companion, but it definitely has its virtues and certainly does not make it inevitable that the opprobrium later heaped upon him would eventually accrue. This story was perhaps one episode too short, as it would have been useful to have found out that after the no-deal embarkation, the Starliner plummeted from the sky and ended up as a crumpled mess. Next up, Doctor Who and Big Vampire, or conservatism gone mad, quite frankly. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, well done, Alan.
Yes, well done.
Brilliant. I love his feedback so much, even though it hurts so much to do.
By the way, Paul Cornell's and
hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
I'm surprised that other podcast never pronounced it DLK. My spelling checker suggests I replace Adric with Acrid. I think it's becoming sentient. Full Circle by Andrew Smith. An emboitement is an obsolete old theory that an egg contains the seeds of all of its future descendants. Romana tells Adric the weight of the TARDIS in kilograms. How does he know what a kilogram is? Those marshmen look like mutant ninja turtles. Because of their life cycle, there are no marsh women. They say they're spraying oxygen on the marshmen, but those look like the old Dalek weapons to me.
They do indeed.
No one in charge knows how to pilot a Starliner. It is like Brexit. K9.
Stop nicking my ideas.
Rolling through swamps. Once again, the Doctor overthrows the status quo, then leaves. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Ian. Yes.
Thank you, Ian.
Master?
Yes.
A couple of things. First of all, the Doctor Who discontinuity guy, they absolutely love this story. Also, the TARDIS, if it weighs as much as Romana says, how did the Marshman pick it up to move it into the cave in the first place?
Mm. Oh, but maybe just on the, I thought about that, but I thought maybe just the outside is just that blue box.
True.
So incidentally, you know, it's only if you go inside that it weighs that much.
Yes, right. I agree with you, Mary.
We've seen it carried around in, like, in Roman times, and we'll see it carried around in the Six Doctors story.
Yeah, the unit loads it up onto a trailer, it must only be on the inside that it weighs that much.
I can't see anything coming on the your request for feedback in regards to Full Circle.
Looks like no feedback except for Ian's.
thing.
That's weird.
Nobody
what
likes
about it. Listeners who are listening right now?
Nobody likes us. Nobody can be bothered. I sit here. I should be working on videos and photography, doing this podcast, and no bugger can be responsible for sending any feedback in, apart from Ian and Alan, of course. Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, "No pain, no gain, Debbie."
Love you too, Alan.
Now, last week we did a quiz called You Won't Get This One, and I forgot to give Debbie the honour of introducing it with the appropriate theme tune. So on this week's You Won't Get This One, Debbie is now going to ask questions on most of Full Circle. This is going to be quite confusing. Let's see how she gets on.
Now, remember, everybody, you've got jokers. Mary, who do you think is going to win?
I think Adam is going to win.
Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Adam.
And Adam, who do you think is going to win?
Now, it's going to be difficult because you haven't done episode one. I'm going to go for Kirby.
Kirby. Okay, Mary, who do you think is going to lose?
Me.
Oh, Mary. Kirby, who do you think is going to lose?
Me.
Kirby. Voting the same as last week. I see what you're doing there. Adam, who do you think is going to lose?
Thing is, Mary liked this story to a degree, so that would be quite tricky. But Kirby's very pedantic, so where am I going to go? Me.
You,
me,
okay.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
All right. Okay, so there's 18 set questions, obviously with bonuses if you need, because I didn't do as many as last time because I felt I probably asked way too many questions.
I agree.
Question one goes to Mary. What does Romana give Adric?
Well, he deserved a thick ear, but
an episode.
She gives him the homing device.
Correct. And should add that Mary already started with 2 points, but yes. Kirby and Adam started on 0. So there you go.
Yes.
So you
get. I did deserve an extra point, but you forgot to give it to me though, didn't you, Deb?
What? You gave yourself a point.
No, I said to Kirby, do you think I deserve a point for that? He said yes, and then you didn't give it to me.
Yes.
All right, well, Adam's got a point then.
Yes.
Kirby, this is your question.
Mistress?
How many marshmen come out of the water?
I don't know.
I might know.
Okay, Adam, what?
5?
Nope.
Oh, worth a try, wasn't it?
It was 6.
Oh, that was one off.
Adam, this is your question. What was Loggins' daughter?
A girl.
Her name, I know.
No, it wasn't. What was she? The other guys asked you know, what's happened, you know, what about your daughter? And he goes, she was a, and that's it.
Pass.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
Okay, Mary?
She's an outer?
Nope.
Oh, if you were looking for a name, Kirby nope. Already said he knew that. Oh.
No. She was a disruption.
That's right.
He has to basically prove that he's given up family. Yeah. Okay, so there are 4 points in the bonus pot already. I thought I was doing easy questions. Oh, dear. What, then remember, answer I know. What does the doctor stab?
I know. I said it first.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
I didn't hear him either.
I did, though. When you listen back to the show, listeners, I'd like email in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
What does the doctor stab, then?
Who are you asking?
Well, you said I know.
I know I did, but if you lot didn't hear me, how am I supposed to know that you knew that I knew?
Well,
we're letting you do it, so
we're giving it to you.
I thought, after all that, I'll probably get it wrong. I thought it was a melon.
Nope.
Oh, well, it's just, well, I got it wrong then, isn't it?
Anyone else?
Yes.
Go on then, Kirby.
The river fruit.
Yes.
That's the blooming melon. Right,
you
that is the...
Done that Joker,
is
it.
Right,
Kirby.
That is the final straw.
No,
right.
not for a...
They were melons.
Picking up another... Oh, you're right, I should have.
Yeah, because you got the 4 points.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's still got the jokers to play. Mary, this is for you.
All right.
I will remember this.
What work should the citizens continue?
Towards the embarkation.
No, it's specific.
I'm still fuming about those melons.
Yes, you are.
Okay, anybody else?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question, so I'm still fuming about the melons. So what was the question again?
Is it the welfare of the community and the work toward the embarkation? Is that it?
It's a specific word that they use.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Anyone?
No, I'm sulking.
Okay, maintenance.
The citizens
should continue the maintenance. Yes, the maintenance, and that's how they talked about it. So that's how I wrote it down.
Laurie Nick says, I didn't hate that one. And then she says, I think carrying around canine severed head as a mask is a handy monster repellent. And then Terry Miles says, Adam said it first. Bit superfluous now, Terry. Right.
Okay.
Well, this is Kirby's question now.
Mistress?
Exactly how heavy is the TARDIS?
Oh, no.
Without looking it up, I can't answer.
No. I couldn't be able to answer without looking it up, so we'll leave it at that. Mary?
I don't know.
We don't know.
5 times 10 to the 6 kilos in your gravity.
Of course it is.
Does Edric know what a kilo is?
We've already discussed that, haven't we?
Moving on.
Okay, Adam, this is your... Well, it's a bloody easy question, sorry.
I bloody hope so.
K9?
What?
What happens to K9?
Well, the marshman bashes his head off with a club.
You didn't use your joker.
Oh, well, it's because I'm sulking about the about my melons.
Okay, he's still cross about that. Now you know how we feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Bonus question. What does Adric think he's done? Anyone?
Nice and vague.
Pass.
He says it right at the end. Okay, well, there's still 4 points in the bonus pot. He's pulled the wrong lever. I think I've pulled the wrong lever.
Yeah, but then how are we supposed to know that? For goodness sake.
Yeah, there was no context there.
It's going by episode thing.
Yeah, but we haven't even had episode one. Anyway, Laurie Nick says...
I'm doing this again. This gets very annoying. Okay, Mary.
Hang on before you ask Mary's question. Laurie Nick says, melons got Adam all hot and bothered. I don't know what she's implying there. Carry on, Mary's question. Sorry, beg your pardon.
Mary, okay, now, we're referring to episode 3, so we can get the context going. What can't you always go by? And don't forget you've got jokers.
What can't say that again?
What can't you always go?
I know.
I don't know.
Okay, Kirby?
And there's no point in my doing the Joker at this point, right?
Well, why not? It depends how many points you're playing for.
Not that many.
Okay.
You can't always go by the manuals.
Perfect.
Ah, see, I would have said appearances, so I'm glad I didn't jump in on that one.
Kirby, this is your question.
Mistress?
Where is the store of knowledge kept?
Joker!
Come on, then.
In the great book room.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, Adam?
Yes?
What does the doctor think the maintenance man has?
Pass.
Anyone?
Probably. I think I know, may I say?
Yeah?
The image translator.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Right, there are 4 points in the bonus pot.
Yes.
What exactly does Dexeter hope to learn from this Marsh child? He's specific about what he hopes to learn when the doctor asks him.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I can't remember.
Okay, 4 points stay in the bonus pot. The answer to that is the nature of the creatures. Okay, Mary, this one's for you.
Mm-hmm.
How long has the Starliner really been ready for?
Ooh, I think I know.
Joker. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Romanus is 40,000 generations.
That's correct.
Okay. I mean, but she's just guessing.
Your wind chimes are going. Is that an upcoming tornado?
40,000, but it's actually 4,000.
Oh, be quiet.
No, it's 40,000. They say it again.
Mary, your wind chimes are chiming. Does that mean you've got a tornado coming?
Oh, I hope not.
Mm. Sorry, Debbie.
Okay. That was Mary's. Kirby.
Mistress.
What is the great secret?
They don't know how to fly.
Adam?
Yes?
What does the doctor find on the floor?
Floor of what?
Oh, I know.
Joker K9's head.
No.
I don't bloody know.
What happens when you play a Joker and you get it wrong?
You lose all your points. Well, no, you just don't get any points. I don't think there's any.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
You don't get the opportunity. You lose your Joker and you don't get any points.
Who said I know?
Me.
They get the Joker. That's right. That person doubles their points. That's what it is. So whoever answers this question correctly will double their points on this instance.
Okay, Ooh,
he finds half his waistcoat. Or...
Perfect. There you go.
Of course he does, yes.
Okay, we've got 4 points still in the bonus pot.
Yeah.
And it's quite a simple question. Who directed?
Oh, I know you do the music.
I know.
Okay, who?
Mary? Peter Grimwade.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Grimwade syndrome.
Yep. Here we go. And so far on the points, Adam is in third place with 3. Kirby is in second place with 12. And Mary is in the lead with 14 points. And there's
our prediction's really wrong.
There's a couple of rounds left. Okay. So, Mary.
Yes.
This is beginning of episode 4 time. Okay, we're halfway through it. What surrounds them?
Stop scratching.
What surrounds them? Okay, I'm going to guess E-Space?
Nope.
No. Didn't think so.
Nope. Don't know.
Anyone? Chaos.
Oh.
Chaos surrounds us.
All right.
Okay.
Star's had enough. She's just left the room.
Oh, is that during one of those things where they're not deciding as deciders?
Yes, okay. It's said. Okay, Kirby, this is you.
Mistress?
What is the decider's conclusion from all the knowledge?
Shall I play a lift music?
No, just pass.
Oh.
Anyone?
No.
Mm-mm.
to do nothing.
Okay.
Adam?
Yes?
What, according to the deciders, should Logan do if they survive?
Take off.
I'll give you 1 point for that. It, seek out the doctor, and he can show you how to fly the Starliner.
Yeah, I've got a point. Woo!
So there's 4 points in the bonus question. And there's enough round to go. We're done, so everyone can breathe a sigh of relief then. And everyone can enjoy getting on with things.
Right,
bonus
sorry.
Question for four points. Why can they not return to Pterodon?
I think I know.
Okay.
Because it doesn't exist.
And no,
sorry, Adam.
Worth a try.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I know.
Well, Mary said it first.
Probably because they're already on Pterodon.
Because they've never been there.
They've never been there.
Oh, because they return. Oh, that's clever. Yes.
Never been there. Okay, Mary, this is your question.
Okay.
What drives away the Marshmen?
I know.
Oxygen.
I could have got that one.
What, and Kirby, this is for you.
Mistress.
Adam, welcome to
my... I was obviously getting tired when I wrote these questions. They're quite simple. What do they notice about the cells?
I know.
That they're all the same. The spider, the...
Yep, that's right.
I knew that one too.
And then, Adam, this is your question.
Oh, it better be one I don't know now, wouldn't it?
What button?
The red one.
No!
No.
Oh, no.
The green one.
Anybody else?
What's the question?
What button?
That was a green one. Sorry, I got all excited because I nearly knew the answer.
Now you know how we feel.
Well, are you asking if anybody else knows?
No, just have it, Mary. It's a good green one.
Now, isn't he?
No, just have it.
He always tells us off for ruining it by saying the question.
Yeah, I'm past caring now.
No, you're not.
Just go through if you're going through. Come on, I'll be up in a bit. Oh, she's eavesdropping.
Don't blame her.
Dropping some eaves. Adam, you didn't use your joker.
I did. It went to Mary.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, he used it.
As the points stand, Adam in last place with 4 points, Kirby in second place with 14 points, and Mary in the lead with 20 points.
Wow.
And everybody got their wins and loses wrong, apart from Adam, who got his lose right, which was himself, so he goes up to 8 points. But that still means he's in last place. So Adam in third with 8, Kirby in second with 14, and Mary this week with 20 points.
Yay! Yay, me!
I've already updated the episode listings with that.
Just wanted to say about the questions. I thought we'd established a long while ago that we did them sort of in chronological order. I'm sorry.
We did.
We
did, dear. We did. Mm. I just lost track of where we were chronologically.
I do. You want me to do them again next week?
What, the same questions? No, I think we might know them if you did the same ones.
Yeah.
Took you a moment there, Kirby.
I believe that we've already... Yes, we've already...
There should be questions on this one.
There should be questions already. And no, I'm not going to go and listen to them again.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we've got to listen to the podcast again.
We don't know which one it does, but Kirby does.
Yeah, April 28th of 2014, and Mary won.
Yay, Mary!
How did I manage that?
Did you not win today? Or did Kirby win today? I've lost the plot.
No, Mary won today, but I'm saying that she won the State of Decay questions.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, Doctor Who news. There's not a lot come through, actually, because the last news that came through that was brand new was the 8th, and that was a Lethbridge Stewart novel coming out. The Season 26 Blu-ray is also coming out on the 23rd of December. And there's also, it says, Ace Returns, a collection, Season 26 announcement trailer. It's a bit of Sophie Aldred playing an older version of Ace. Haven't watched it yet? How long is it? Let's have a look. Oh, it's a YouTube video.
It's YouTube, yeah.
3 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that. 3 minutes long. I'm not going to play that. Oh, this is a little bio on Terence Dix.
Did you see the obituary Toby Haydock did for him?
No, I probably just as well, because it probably end up with me shedding a tear, and I'm a man, and we men don't
Matthew
cry.
Matthew Pressel shared it first, and then I shared it as well.
It's probably extreme. Toby's a very good at. We had him on when Nicholas Courtney passed away, and also when Elizabeth Sladen passed away. Yeah. It's very sad for the world of Doctor Who, but sadly everybody that was in the classic era is getting older and older, so what can you do? It's going to get sad. Right, so that's it for news. It wasn't really much of news. Whoone.co.uk still exists, ladies and gentlemen. The shop might not exist for much longer, because as Nick himself says, nobody seems to want to buy Doctor Who in a shop anymore, which is ironic considering all the new figures that have been released and that are in B and M, all the new 5-inch figures that I must go and purchase an eighth Doctor.
Yes, I was looking for those, and then Tom said he'd seen them in there. I was like, oh.
They're in B and M, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not plugging them the shop for any other reason that they've got Doctor Who stuff in them. But yeah, so sadly, you can only go to whoone.co.uk to get whoone.co.uk items, but they still exist.
I'm really pleased with what I bought from him. I bought a hand wash for my own little bathroom.
Did you buy that at FancyCon?
It's got TARDIS. It's a TARDIS.
Excuse me.
One, so I'm just going to keep refilling it.
Did you buy that at FancyCon?
I did.
He said he sold absolutely nothing.
I bought that. Well, I went over.
I said, how did you get onto him? He said, nope. Which implied to me that he'd sold nothing, so he fibbed to me.
No, I bought from him. I know somebody else did.
Unless he just thought that you didn't count. Count to me, though, Debbie.
Oh, I gave him full price. I didn't go, you sponsor me, I need
to. Oh, while you're online, does your post office, can I send parcels through it? If I bring a parcel down, can I send it?
What kind of parcel?
Oh, it's a parcel containing a magic wand and a photo of Josh Herdman, because I sold one of my signed wands. I sold a signed Josh Herdman Gregory Goyle wand on eBay for 50 odd quid. It actually cost me 20 quid, so that's 29 quid. So a little bit of a profit there.
Post office, come on down. I'm not there tomorrow, so
yeah. Oh, well, that case,
I've got skeleton service.
I don't know if
tomorrow,
I can trust anybody that when you're not down there. I'll have to see.
Well, I'll be there on Tuesday all the way.
No, I have to send it now. I should have sent it 3 days ago. They're going to start moaning soon. Anyway, back to Doctor Who and Who Won. Lots of new things coming out.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Oh, for goodness sake. A bit late on that one, Kirby. Coming soon.
I had stepped out of the room again.
Big Finish Productions. A Mystery of the Daleks by Andrew Smith. Should have been on the show today. is coming out soon, along with Harry Houdini's War. These are both Sixth Doctor stories, which is interesting that the Sixth Doctor himself was with Andrew at our convention. Legacy of Time it looks like a load of Doctors in that one. That's £60 as well. So it looks like a multi-Doctor story. And the Paternoster Gang Heritage 1, or is it Paternoster? I don't know. Either way, that's coming out soon. Serenity, which is looks like a future friend of the show, Gareth David. Oh, he is a friend of the show. He's been on, isn't he? David Lloyd. Is. And, of course, John Barrowman, who hasn't been on and probably costs us quite a lot of money to get on, but I'd love to get him on the show, that is, of course. And
maybe if FantasyCon keeps going the way it should hopefully do, we might be able to get some of the big stars.
We're never going to have 20 grand for John Barrowman. Right then, Warmaster 3.
I'll remind you of that in about 10 years' time.
We're never going to have 20 grand.
Oh, have we?
Very unlikely we're going to have a convention in 20 years' time. I'm going to be very old in 20 years' time. Anyway.
By then, Barrowman will be a classic.
Be in my 70s. There's no way I'm going to be doing conventions in my 70s. Warmaster 3, Rage of the Time Lords, with, of course, Paul McGann and Sir Derek Jacobi.
Oh, I love him. I've got just got a CD of him reading one of my favourite books called Blackberry Wine, and he sounds so good in that.
We can imagine that the combined voices of Mrs. McGann and Jacobi. Obviously, Paul McGann himself has got a very good voice for radio. He's particularly good at, as we had him on the show with his voice.
He's terrific,
got incredible voice. So the two voices go really, really well together. So, Lavazzi, now the Lavazzi do cigars and stuff. Obviously, people who came to our event didn't really want to buy them much, but I will say we had a bit of an issue with they sent three boxes load of stuff. I sent back three boxes load of stuff. But
it was the hottest weekend.
Yeah, it was the hottest weekend of the year. So if we try it again, we'll be a smaller consignment, but it will be, you know, in the winter, so it might be a bit of a better option then. But he was very kind to us. It cost me £45 to send all those items back to him. One, he didn't charge us for the stuff that we sold. And so therefore, we basically broke even on that one. But it was nice to have the stuff there available for people. Hopefully people will have seen it and felt the quality and will buy it online at lavazzi.co.uk. Are you talking over my little plug for Lavazzi?
I'm about to say, because I was the one selling the stuff all weekend.
Or trying to sell it.
Everyone was really interested in Lavazzi, and I showed a few people on my phone the link to their, you know, to their website and the fact they do other things, not just Doctor Who. So lots of people were really interested. And the trouble was, it was the hottest weekend of the year, and it was winter scarves and Christmas scarves.
People weren't really thinking. People weren't really thinking a couple of weeks forward, were they? To now, when it's actually not that warm.
This week it would have been blooming essential wear. You know?
What, it's cold already. It's only been 2 weeks.
I mean, today was glorious, but for the last couple of days, it's been really cold.
Okay, right. Anyway, sorry, I've just got a very bizarre message come through. I'll speak about it in a minute. Right then. So, next week will be... let's make sure it is next week. I haven't got anything on next Sunday. Yes, Kirby?
You know, I wanted to know what day for the next one.
Oh, it would be a Sunday, won't it? Yes, next week, that's the 15th of September, we're going to be talking about State of Decay.
Hooray!
Oh, it's September already.
It's September now, mate, and you're not spotted.
Yeah.
Or you've got a different month in America. So that's essentially it. Sorry, it's really sad that Andrew couldn't make it. Just make sure he hasn't messaged me to say sorry. I didn't get a message. So until next week, thank you for watching, listening, contributing, and in some cases not contributing to the show. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.